You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Augie.
And I'm Kayla. So today we're going to talk about fan voted awards and social media artists and kind of how those two things tie into each other. And while you're listening, use the hashtag FOAFpod and tweet us your thoughts. So let's get started.
Let's go.
So I'm going to let you explain the difference between what we would call a social media artist and just someone that is like use social media to big up their platform.
Yeah, so basically like two solid examples, I guess, if you take artists like Tori Kelly or Justin Bieber, you know, or even like Pentatonix, like artists who, you know, they would post covers. I mean, so many artists did this when Vine was big, RIP Vine. But basically artists who are homegrown, they built up a huge following on social media and that's how they got their following. And later on, that's how they got the attention of like record, you know, companies or, you know, people like Scooter Braun, who everyone's trying to get in a room with. Yeah. So basically like that to me is like a social media artist in the sense that like they wouldn't have gotten people's attention. They wouldn't have, you know, gotten into certain rooms or whatever if it wasn't for platforms like YouTube or Vine or Instagram or whatever. But then you have like other artists who, you know, pretty much like artists who were signed first. So like a Fifth Harmony or an Ariana Grande or whoever who, you know, they were signed as artists. That's all great. But then later like used social media or, you know, used their huge fandom on social media to like leverage their careers or their work or their albums, whatever it is. And so, I don't know, in my mind, I kind of put them in different groups because it's really more about like their origins. So pretty much like, you know, did they have that following on social media first or not or like whatever. So that's kind of how I like separate it in my mind.
Yeah, I have the same idea towards that. And then I think there are people like, Justine Skye and Pia Mia, and if you don't know who they are friends of the Jenners.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have like, you know, millions of followers on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, but they can't like really find success because they kind of branded themselves around the Jenners. Like, people know Justine Skye as Justine Skye, the black friend of the Jenners or whatever. So I think that like artists like them where they kind of use their social media, not really using the Jenners, but, you know, being friends with them or whatever and being visible, you know, around them, it would make people say, okay, I like this person, whatever. Now you have millions of followers, but people are more interested in seeing you with the Jenners than your music and things like that. And I think that's where trouble comes in.
Who was,
you know,
that friend? Was it Justine? That friend of Kylie or Kendall's who, like, Drake was at their dinner, at the Jenners' dinner or something one day, and, like, she just started singing a song to him or something?
I think it was Pia Mia. Yeah, it was Pia Mia, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, she just... I hope that's how you say her name. But,
yeah.
Yeah, she was... Yeah, that was her from that dinner or whatever. But I remember that video had kind of gone around on Twitter and Tumblr, whatever. And people were like, oh, my gosh, she's so good, this and that. But, like, people don't see past the fact that she was, you know, a Jenner like sidekick before mm-hmm. you know, making music and stuff like that. Or, you know, like she did a song with Tyga and Chris Brown and it was actually pretty good, but nobody wanted to hear it. Like her music, that like the music that she has put out has not done well.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's crazy because somebody with, you know, millions of followers, you'd think they'd be doing at least okay. But that isn't really the case for her. So, you know, I think there's a difference between those types of social media artists and just like how they use social media to big up their platform.
Yeah. And I mean, I think what sets those two groups apart, like I was saying, is just, you know, for example, like Tori, Justin, Pentatonix, they have actual talent. And that's, right. you know, that's a huge, huge part of it as well. Like, the people who, you know, discovered them and signed them, like, they saw a lot of potential and, like, they knew that they could turn that into something. So it's, like, there's a difference between that and then just having a big following. Because, like, we've mentioned so many times in other episodes, like, the numbers are never enough to just to get you to go somewhere. If anything, it's, like, it's a great tool, but it's never, like, the only thing that's going to get you, you know, played on the radio or whatever. Because, like, you have to have those industry connects and you have to have someone, you know, whether it's someone like L.A. Reid, you know, Scooter, people like them who just, like, you know, actually are out here, A&R people who are out here, like, breeding, like, talent and, like, a full-on artist, you know? And yeah. And if they don't have anything to work with, then, you know, that isn't the case. But, I mean, they're, like I mentioned to you earlier with the artist H.E.R., you know, that also is an example of a social media artist or an artist who's using, you know, platforms on social media, like from her Instagram to SoundCloud and everything like that to spread her music. And she releases it on iTunes and it does fairly well on iTunes, you know, charts and stuff, especially the R&B charts in particular. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and she may not be looking to like blow up or whatever. And so there's so many, that's what I find interesting about this whole intersection of social media and music is just that, you know, there are so many people out here releasing music. It's like overwhelming, but like there are these kind of the diamond in the rough kind of situation where like you find some really great talent out here and it may not always be the person with a million followers. Like, I don't know how many followers her has like off the top of my head, but I doubt it's even 100K, you know. Yeah. But like she's been able to still spread her music and there, you know, so many people that I, you know, talk to and follow listen to her, and there's so many other artists like that as well. Like even people like Princess Nokia, for example, like most of her stuff is only on social, and that's, it's kind of become a space now where like artists, you know, are being, you know, they're out there and they're being discovered and it's great, but you know, again, like it's not, the numbers alone are not going to get you anywhere. Like there are tons more people who have, you know, like less followers who are much more talented. And like, you know, if someone's only looking for a retweet or something to their millions of followers, like that by itself can't ever be enough, I don't think.
So like, how do these artists do when it comes to like fan voted award shows and awards and stuff like that? The people like her who, she has a following where people will listen to her music, but will the people under like 100K, all those followers that she has, will they vote for her and things like that? So how do they do, you know?
They just don't.
They just don't.
They don't. Like, you know, I mean, which is like not surprising, like because right. the fan voted awards, I mean, they're for people who, you know, it may not be the most, like I was telling, I read a Time article that summed up fan voted awards perfectly. It's like not for the, you know, the critically acclaimed artists. It's mostly right. for like the people who are popular. And for the most part, that is true because like the people nominated in all these awards, I mean, if we're talking about music in particular, it's always like One Direction or like 5 Seconds of Summer, Fifth Harmony, you know, Ariana Grande, you know, the people with like very active fan bases, and even like Nicki Minaj and stuff, like people with really active fan bases and really huge fan bases that are going right. to, you know, go all the way to like making it happen for them.
Well, I just, like, I hate fan-voted awards because of that. Like, even when I did participate, I hated it. Like, I didn't do it because it was fun, because I wanted to accomplish something. I really just did not like it. Because, one, I just think that, you know, like you said, it's for the popular artists. Like, if, say, this is just an example, because I don't even know if they've had songs out in the same year, but if Selena Gomez released a single, right? And Zara Larsson released a single. Of course, if both songs are nominated for Best Pop Whatever, and it's a fan-voted award, Selena is going to win over Zara simply because she has a bigger fan base. But what if Zara's song was better?
Yeah.
I just feel like I don't like that because you know, like, the art, it's not fair to the artists, you know what I mean? Like, the big celebrities and things like that, they win the awards that you can get from, you know, sales and stuff like that. I think the iHeart Radio Awards are like that, where it's about sales and, you know, just like radio play and things like that are all factored in, along with fan voting. And I don't like it because it's not fair to artists like Zara Larsson and stuff like that. I was watching the iHeart Radio Awards and they had an R&B category, or maybe it was rap, I don't know. This girl, she raps and she sings, and I think her name is Dreezy. I'm not completely sure. I don't really listen to her music, but she was nominated for something, and I don't know if it was fan voted, or I think it might have been fan voted, and it was like, there's no way she was gonna win that. Like, even if she was great, and even if, you know, she was so excited, she was like, this is my first nomination and stuff, and I knew immediately that she wouldn't win, and I felt bad for her for that reason, because it's like, I don't even know if she realizes that this person that you're nominated with will win over you simply because they have such a huge fan base.
Right.
Like, a fan base that is double the size of yours. And I think a lot of newer artists, they're just happy to be involved, that they don't even realize how unfair it is until it keeps happening to them, and then they're like, all right, the music industry is bullshit, I hate this, you know what
I mean?
Yeah,
but I mean, the thing is, like, it all comes down to it being a popularity contest.
Right.
And, like, the thing is, most award shows are, like, we, you know, we want to call the Grammys, like, the best award show, or, like, the most prestigious in music, but, like, mm-hmm. we can see that, like, within their circles, you know, it turned out to be just a popularity contest and not even about the quality. I think, right. like, I don't know, to me, it's like, I totally get what you're saying, and I do agree to an extent. And honestly, like, I'm not a huge fan of fan-voted award shows as much as I used to be anyway. But it's just mostly because, like, I'm not as big of a fan of people who are involved anymore. Like, I think I've just kind of outgrown it for the most part. But yeah, like I said, I think it's a popularity contest. They're, you know, it literally has nothing to do with critical acclaim, and I think they're more open with it than any other kinds of award shows. But I don't want to completely write it off because, you know, it is a space, like I said, where a lot of artists are getting the attention that, like, they wouldn't get at, like, the Grammys, for example, you know, especially a lot of, like, pop artists. And yeah, these awards may not mean anything, but, like, it is a space where I feel like those artists can get that attention. And, you know, that could mean so much to that person, you know, which I think is important to, like, note. And also just, like, knowing how deeply fans care, there's a lot of fandoms that truly do care about these awards, and how much time they put into, like, voting all day, and, like, making, like, multiple accounts to vote for them, and, like, going on these vote sprees where it's, like, a bunch of, you know, fans are, like, setting out blocks of time in a particular day to, like, just do nonstop voting on social media. Like, it's insane how invested they are in these particular things, and it's mm-hmm. only to make sure that their artist is getting the attention that they think they deserve. And I feel like in that spirit of things, like, I can see the possible good in it, because it brings all those people together, and you're like, you're trying to get your fave, you know, to the top spot, which is, like, great and exciting. But I don't know, like, to me, it's just like, I just can't, like, completely write it off because of that, just knowing how invested so many people are. But I mean, of course, like, there's been so much controversy, like, within the past few years, especially because of, you know, just how voting, you know, votes are counted or whatever. And for those who, like, don't know, it's, like, basically, you know, a lot of these awards, like People's Choice Awards in particular, they've been around since, like, the 70s. But voting it by, you know, for all these shows, People's Choice, Teen Choice, the VMAs, whatever you want to call it, like, it's all gone to, like, online now. You know, all these award shows, they used to do, like, phone-in voting for, like, the Kids' Choice Awards. You know, for Teen Choice, you used to, like, be able to rip out a magazine ballot, like, in all these teen magazines and, like, mail it in. It was, like, crazy. But, like, now it's all, you know, online, either through a website or, like, social media. So
hashtag,
it's, like, you use your hashtag to vote for certain people for certain categories. And like retweets count as votes. And so like during the voting periods for these shows, like if you are on fandom/stan like Twitter, that's all you're seeing. And people are like using that hashtag to say that they had a great day today. They're using the hashtag to tell you what they had for dinner. They're using that hashtag to drag someone. It's literally embedded into everything they do. And it's all, you know, for the love and support of a certain artist that, or celebrity, whoever, that they think deserves this top spot. So it's like knowing how invested people get, like I can never like completely count that out just because, you know, I can respect the dedication at some level. Yeah. People got so upset excessive. Because like they were, you know, these shows were in the very fine print and like their terms and agreements and all that crap. They mentioned that, you know, just because, you know, these are the categories and like, yes, people are voting, but like at the end of the day, the producers of these shows and the people, you know, who are helping to count the votes, they have the power to like pick the winner. So at the end of the day, sometimes whoever got the most votes may not even end up winning. Yeah. And, you know, of course, Cameron Dallas of MagCon in like 2014, he went off on Twitter because, you know, he was just like, yeah, like I found out I was going to win Best Social Media Star like 3 days before the actual show. But like all the other people were still asked to like promote, because it becomes a whole thing where it's like these hashtags you're using to vote. It's not just about like the vote, it's also promoting this show and like promoting everything. So it's like it's a crazy kind of machine. I think
you have to think about the fact that like millions of, like, they get millions of votes. Like some fans can get in. I mean, like some of these things last really long, a really long time. I think the longest one that I saw in the, I think maybe the last one I actually participated in a couple years ago was it was like 2 months of voting. So you're tweeting this hashtag in every tweet for 2 whole months. You're going on this website every day and clicking this little, you know, clicker for 2 entire months. You're bringing so much traffic to these websites. You're promoting these media outlets and companies and stuff like that. And to me, it's just, oh my God, it's just so wrong. It's using fans so bad. And it's just like, I hate it for that reason. And it's like, for me, it's like excessive. Like, I like that certain shows have limits. So, you know, you can only tweet the hashtag from this Twitter account 10 times a day. And so you get your 10 votes in early in the day and then it's over. I think I would prefer that. I think if they would just kind of change it up a bit, I wouldn't be so annoyed by it. But the fact that, you know, you can go all day and you see that hashtag on your timeline all day, it's annoying. Like, and that's why, like, I just don't participate in it anymore. So because of that, because it's like, I care if this person gets an award, yes, but I don't care enough for me to like, for that to be the only thing I think about, especially nowadays where I'm like not huge, like my fan account is not strictly used for fan shit anymore. Like I have regular conversation on that account nowadays. So it's like, I think, like you said, I've just kind of grown out of it. So like a lot of it just annoys me.
Yeah. And I mean, I am so removed from that as well. But I don't know. I'm still like fascinated by the whole thing, because it's also like, even though fans get pissed off at it being rigged, like, which it is, like, I think I want to see, like, I haven't seen as much of them, like, acknowledging kind of, like, the platform it does give the artists. Because at the end of the day, it's kind of like, like, the producers and the network side and then the fan and artist side, it's almost like doing each other a favor kind of thing. Like, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Like, yes, you know, we're voting our asses off every day, but we want to get our artists up front and, like, you know, getting that kind of attention that they rarely ever get for a lot of, for not a lot of these artists, but like for a good number of these artists, it's like, you're not going to see them performing at the Grammys, but like they will perform and be, you know, have a huge chance at getting, you know, a Teen Choice Award, People's Choice Award, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have that side, and all the producers and the networks want, of course, is the ratings. And so it's like, at the end of the day, like, they're actually working together to, they each have their own goals, but they're working together in a sense to kind of make shit happen. But I totally get being pissed off that, like, your votes may not end up counting to, you know, because you do go through all that annoying shit of having to tweet the hashtag all the time or do all those clicks on the website. And for your artists not to make it, not because they didn't get the most votes, but because the company wanted whatever else, whoever else to win. I mean, it's just like,
oh, well, this person will draw a bigger reaction, so let's give it to them. And stuff
or
like,
this person is more likely to show up than that one.
Yeah.
So let's just give it to the person who shows up. You know, stuff like that. Like, that to me, like, is why I can't, one of the reasons why I've grown out of award shows for sure. Or fan voted award shows in particular. Like, but I don't know, like, I appreciate, like, what it's supposed to be. Like, in theory, it's really great. Like, giving fans the power to, you know, push their fave to the top when they may not get a chance in other spaces. Like, that kind of, feeling like you have that kind of power is cool and it's fun. And it's something that, like, you know, harmonizers, for example, have completely, like, turned into like a machine to where people are fucking using them to get views and shit, but like it has worked in their favor in the sense that, like, because these networks know harmonizers will tune in, they've been giving Fifth Harmony more opportunities
constant
to be on TV, you know. And so it's like, it's interesting to see it work hand in hand in that way, but it is a completely convoluted, like, fucking mess for sure. And
if they changed, if only they just like changed the system a little bit, like how it worked, if it was limited, I think I would like it a lot more. I not like it, but I wouldn't be so annoyed by it.
I think the social media aspect is what irks me now, because it's like, before, when it was just the websites, it was like a completely solo thing, so you just kind of like, you vote on your own and then you just go back into the world of whatever you're doing. But I mean, now it like actually infiltrates your timeline and it's like you can't escape it. But I don't know. Twitter's mute function has gotten a lot better, so I guess you can just mute people now. But it'll be, I don't know. Like, I wonder, like, if fans would like actually be, I don't know, like mad enough to boycott it. Because I feel like every year the anger is like amplified more, but
the need for bragging rights with stans is just, it definitely is stronger than the, you know, annoyance that comes with fan voting. So I don't think they'd ever boycott simply because they want to be able to say my fave has this many MTV awards and yours has two less. So I don't know if it ever, because, you know, it's like, it's a big competition. Like, Stan Twitter is a big competition. So I just, like, I don't think that they'd ever boycott. Like, I don't see that happening ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Fan voted awards.
What's the next one? I think we just had the People's Choice. The thing is, like, for the most part, I don't go out of my way to watch fan voted awards anymore. Yeah. But I do, like, if I'm around, still end up watching them. So I did watch the People's Choice Awards. And then I think the next one might be an MTV one. Maybe the Movie Awards.
Yeah, because I think everything else is out the way. iHeartRadio just happened not too long ago.
And it's crazy how many have been popping up in recent years. Like, I feel like when I was growing up, the only ones I can really remember was, like, for sure People's Choice, Kids' Choice, Teen Choice. And then are the AMAs, American Music Awards?
Well, I was about to say that. So, like, now, even in, like, bigger award shows like the AMAs, now they have a couple categories that they dedicated to just fan voting. Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, even the award shows that, like, aren't completely fan voted, now they're adding categories to get that, you know, they've seen how well, you know, it turns out for ratings to have all of these fans waiting to see who outvoted who, you know, so I guess they've added a couple categories themselves, you know, to get in on that. I mean, I don't blame them because people are willing to, you know, do all of that voting.
That's the thing.
Stuff
at the
like
end
that.
Of the day, the networks have the upper hand because the fans will show up for their fave for the most part.
Right.
I mean, there's some fandoms that just don't care anymore for the most part, like
Beyonce's.
The Hive, because
why, like, Fifth Harmony has won, like, 10 awards over her. And it's like, I don't want y'all to start bragging because it's just because the Hive just does not care enough to do that. Like, please recognize that it's not because, you know, Fifth Harmony has, you know, done more or better than Beyonce.
Right. But, it's cool. We still love the girls.
Yeah, love them. Now we're going to get into our flops and faves. And if this is your first time listening, that is our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week. And as always, I'm going to let you go first.
Aw, I was going to say you should go first, but okay. All right, so my fave this week is a podcast. I just so happened to discover it this week, but also this is the last week of the whole tripod campaign that's been happening mm-hmm. through the month of March and stuff. We've mentioned it before, but basically it's hashtag tripod. You can shout out all your favorite podcasts and give people some recommendations, but you also need to recommend it to people in real life who may not, you know, listen to podcasts yet. So I'm going to end the month with a podcast recommendation for Ball Girl Magic. Mm-hmm. Really great podcast. It's hosted by Rosalind Gold Onwude. I hope I didn't mispronounce her name. And Yvonne Orji, who you guys may know from Insecure. She plays Molly.
Yes.
So they co-host this podcast. They're both hilarious. And it's pretty much like if you're into sports and the intersection of sports and fashion and culture and all those things put together, like pretty much they have conversations about those things. And their very first episode had Gabrielle Union in it, and it was just hilarious. And like, I would want to have drinks with Gabrielle Union to talk about anything, because she just knows everything about everything and is really great. And it's just really great, fun show. Yvonne Orji, who plays Molly, like, I feel like on Insecure, she's like kind of like really bougie and a little bit uptight in most situations. Mm-hmm. But in real life, she's just so hilarious. I mean, she's a comedian, and so of course, but so fun to listen to. And you know, she's just joking nonstop. So if you need a good laugh, like, and a new podcast, go listen to Ball Girl Magic. It's definitely on iTunes and should be on wherever else you listen to podcasts. Google Play.
Are you saying bald, like no hair, or bald,
no.
Like basketball?
Ball, like B-A-L-L.
Okay.
So basically, it's like a sports-centered podcast.
Yeah,
so they
I figured that out once you said sports, but I was like, let's just make it clear for everyone else.
Yeah, so it's like sports-centered, which, I mean, how dope is that? Like, two black women hosting a sports podcast.
Yeah, I'm
going
to have to listen to that.
But, like, even if you're not into sports, I definitely think you should give it a try.
Cool.
But, yeah, so that's my fave of the week. My flop of the week goes to Iggy Azalea.
Oh my gosh.
Really, just because, like, apparently she released a new single.
Oh God.
And for some reason she has not gotten the memo that, like, we don't want to see her twerk and no one asked for it. But she released a song called Mo Bounce, like M-O Bounce.
Oh my God.
And, like, she started the Mo Bounce Challenge. Hashtag.
I haven't seen it yet.
And the actual reason why this is my flop, because, like, obviously no one on my timeline was doing this challenge.
Right.
But the reason I saw it is because I follow the Pop Crave account.
Oh, yeah.
And they posted a video of Bebe Rexha
doing
the challenge. And it's, like, so bad. I'm like, look, I can't twerk. Me personally, I can't. So it's like, I'm not going to be out here doing it. I'm
right.
not gonna
but you
like.
Know
I'm just
what
you know, like you should
is.
Just know your lane and stick with it. Like
right.
just Bebe Rexha and Iggy and everyone on that like freaking hashtag. They obviously don't know that they can't do it, and they're just like it's just so bad. So yeah, Iggy's my flop because I'm just like we tried to tell you like 2 years ago to stop doing this shit, and she's still out here, and it's just. Bye. So yeah, that's my flop of the week. So yeah, what are your flops and faves?
So my fave this week is Slide by Calvin Harris, Frank Ocean, and Migos. I feel like I slept on this when it first came out, and I've been listening to it a lot lately, the last few days or whatever. I think it had to just grow on me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my fave, Slide. And my flop is, this is kind of old, but it came across my timeline again because somebody wrote a think piece about it. I'm going to have to try to find it so I can link it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Shea Moisture's new campaign about wanting to like integrate hair care aisles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like have Shea Moisture and Cantu shampoos with like Tresemme and Garnier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't want that. So, like, their whole campaign is this. Let me kind of, like, explain it briefly. If you don't know, if you have natural hair, like, naturally curly hair, most people use natural hair care products. And Shea Moisture is a line that makes natural hair care products and skincare products. And pretty much their whole campaign is the fact that, like, ethnic, quote-unquote, products are usually on a different aisle than, like, Tresemme, Garnier, and all those things. Mm-hmm. And if not on a different aisle, they're kind of like separated and like labeled ethnic or whatever, mm-hmm. or just like labeled natural. And for me, it's like, okay, like I get it. Maybe they could take down the ethnic label. But beyond that, like I kind of like being able to grab everything in the same spot. Yeah. Like when my hair was relaxed, like I've only been natural for like a year and a couple months. So like when my hair was relaxed, it was easy for me to go and get my shampoo and conditioner from the Tresemme area in the, you know, like straight hair and relaxed hair area. Why would I be looking for my conditioner with Cantu and Shea Butter and As I Am and all those extra things like that? Keep it separate. Mm-hmm. It's easier for me, like, to shop. Like, yeah. Simply put, like, that is just easier for me to shop. Like, I don't need, like, keep it segregated. Hashtag keep hair products segregated.
Yeah, I actually agree. And my main issue was that when I was living in Baton Rouge, like, mm-hmm. the quote-unquote ethnic hair care area was, like, a very small corner in the, you know, beauty section. And so mm-hmm. what irked me more than them being together or separate was that, like, I had so few options.
Right.
But, like, I actually went home over the, like, you know, during Mardi Gras or whatever, like, last month, and I went to my, like, neighborhood Walmart. There's now mm-hmm. a whole entire aisle of stuff, like, just for us. And that's so
growing.
Perfect. Like, I can just go into that aisle. I can pick exactly what I want and need, you know, stuff that's, you know, for my very specific hair texture.
Yes.
And I can be in and out in a second.
Right. Like, it just makes it, it's just so much easier to shop that way. Like, I cannot imagine looking, especially because we, like, when I, like I said, when my hair was relaxed, I pretty much only bought shampoo and conditioner for my hair. I didn't really need to use anything else. But now I have a leave-in conditioner. I have, like, a curl cream. I have a, you know, a hold cream. I have all of these different things. So, like I don't want to have to, like, snake through all of these other different products to find the things that I need, whereas I could just kind of, like, go to that one area or that one aisle separate from everything else and just grab it. Like, and like you said, the options are, like, getting bigger because more people are natural now and these, you know, companies are, like, blowing up and things like that. So, like, I just, like, keep it separate. Every time I see the commercial or see people talk about it, like, in favor of the campaign, I'm just like, why?
I know.
Why do you want to make things hard for me? Like, this is one thing that I just don't need change with. Like,
right.
I'm so straight on this. But yeah, and I mean, honestly, beyond that, if you feel like you don't have enough options, just go to the beauty supply store and they have everything you need. You know what I mean? So just please, Shea Moisture, I love you. I have your curl cream in my bathroom right now. But just, you know, like, please don't. I don't want you to inspire change.
You don't have to
with
do this.
This.
It's okay. No, who told you to do this? You
right. Just tell people to love their curls and, you know, sell all of these nice products. But beyond that, girl, we don't need your
help.
Good.
We are good.
Yeah, that's my favorite flop. So, the music that you hear in the beginning and the end of every episode is made by our good friend Dion. You can follow her on Twitter and SoundCloud and all the rest of the things at Your Girl DJ Magic. That's Your Girl DJ Magic.
And you can follow the show at The Fan Podcast on Twitter and Tumblr. And you can find both of our personal Twitters in the description box as well as in the bios on the show's account. And yeah, tweet us and rate us and do all of those things because we really appreciate it when you do.
5-star ratings because we are 5-star chicks.
Currently my favorite review, I love them all, I really do, but my favorite one on iTunes is that the title of the review is Wig Obliterated. And I was like, wow, I wish that would have been the name of the show, to be honest.
Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness.
So
yes.
Thank you guys for taking the time to do that. Like, we do see
we
it.
Love
and
y'all.
We really, really appreciate it. And, you know, it lets Apple know that people are out here really listening. So we appreciate y'all.